The government is expected to approve a proposal to allow Ireland join an EU military initiative to defend critical seabed infrastructure against sabotage, terrorism and espionage. The project is part of the PESCO framework, where EU member states cooperate to improve the capabilities of their armed forces. 2 months ago, the National Risk Assessment identified damage to undersea infrastructure as a key risk for Ireland. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South. Cathal Berry, thank you for coming into our studio today. Critical infrastructure, critical seabed infrastructure, what's down there? What are we talking about?
Good afternoon, Gavin. So there's about three different categories, really. First of all, we've about a dozen data cables, so fibre optic data cables, moving information from this island to America and to the continental Europe. Second category would be energy pipelines. So this is our gas pipelines in particular. There's one from the Corrib gas field, two from Moffat in Scotland. The third category is the electricity interconnector between the UK and Ireland. So it's very, very vulnerable infrastructure. And it's part of Russian military doctrine, basically, to go after this and target it, if necessary, through hybrid operations.
And is there any suggestion that it is at risk?
Yeah, absolutely. The most exposed gas pipeline in all of Europe is from the Corrib gas field. And Ireland is unique in that we're the only EU country of the 27 that has no natural gas storage at all. So the only storage we have in Ireland is the 48 hours worth of natural gas in the pipes. And we've no LNG terminal either, so we can't bring in by ship. So if these pipelines get taken out, within 48 hours, there'd be no natural gas for the hospitals, for hotels, for schools, or for homes either. So particularly exposed.
Who's defending it now?
Nobody. Great question. So Ireland is particularly vulnerable because of the weakened state of our defence force. So even 15 years ago, we had eight naval ships. We could put eight naval ships to sea. Now we can barely put one. We've no sonar, we've no radar, so Ireland is particularly vulnerable. But there is a strategic blind spot off our west coast, and France, Norway and Britain, for instance, are backfilling there and doing the job that Ireland should be doing in their own backyard.
So under this proposal, who would defend it then?
We have to wait and see. What this proposal is that there's going to be kind of a workshop or training and cross-pollination of ideas over in Europe. And they're going to decide what's the best approach. Now, my solution, I think most people would be in favour, that Ireland should have its own autonomous, independent capability. And that would be from the air, with air core aircraft, from the sea, from our naval ships, but also acoustic sensors that you can put next to these critical pieces of information. And if there is a large magnetic anomaly, like a submarine moving nearby, that it can detect this and call for assistance.
In order for us to ask the EU for help on this, we have to get what approval? Is it Dáil and Cabinet approval, or just Cabinet approval?
Cabinet and Dáil. So we would expect the resolution probably to come before the Dáil next week. It'd probably have to be debated as well and just teased out. So it's a double lock when it comes to this.
But we've already joined PESCO.
Correct, yeah. So every EU country bar one is a member of PESCO. So even neutral countries like Austria and Cyprus as well. And PESCO really is, for the military, is what Europol is for the Garda Síochána. So the Garda Síochána interact with their counterparts via Europol, and militaries interact with their counterparts via PESCO.
There are those who would see PESCO as the first step to a more unified EU defence policy, and that would include an army at some stage.
I don't see that a possibility, even technically a possibility. NATO has been around for 75 years and they're not even a unified military outfit at the moment. Nation states are really, really, they jealously guard their intelligence, and they jealously guard their communications cipher keys as well. I don't even think it's technically possible, and particularly not politically possible.
But in order for us to guard these cables, do we not have to share our intelligence and perhaps ask other people for help to defend them?
Absolutely, and that's what this project is about. It's about pooling and sharing and cooperating. So it's like a Erasmus for the universities. So Irish universities interact with their university peers around Europe via the Erasmus scheme. But that doesn't suggest that Europe has a unified single third level institution or anything like that. Similarly, from a health perspective, the HSE uses the cross-border directive to interact with hospitals across the European Union.
Yes,
we don't have a unified health system.
But if you have to ask another country to help defend your seabed, is that not giving up some of your sovereignty?
Absolutely, I agree entirely. Every country should have its own capability, their own independent capability. And as a bonus on top of that, then, they should be able to cooperate with their neighbours, just like we do in the housing states, to make sure that they have a collective security as well.
Just before I let you go, the rise of independence, and I know that's a very broad sphere, but given that you're an independent TD in the Dáil, And one of the criticisms, for example, labelled by some of the parties, and particularly from Sinn Féin, saying that votes for independence, you can't rely on an independent not to end up being a vote for government. I'm looking at you in particular because you have voted with government almost your entire time in the Dáil, isn't that right?
No, not at all. So
most of the time.
I'm one of the few deputies who voted for policies and against policies from every single political entity inside.
But you have voted with the government quite a lot.
About 50-50, Gav. And I guess the reason being is I look at the policy, not the source of the policy. So it's the merits of the policy that most independents vote on, not their source. If the policy is good, we'll vote for it. If the policy is a dog's dinner, we'll oppose it.
Dr. Carl Berry, thank you very much for coming into our studio today.